This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Kick off another week here on the show. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. We're going to mix in a little dark folks conversation. It's the end of Game of Thrones. But it's not the end of the jostling, so to speak, that's going on the Hill as we talk about the latest coming out of Washington, D.C. We've got a judge okaying a subpoena for the president's financial records. Who better to toss this around with than the former congressman from Ohio from Talk Media News, Bob Ney. Hey, Bob.
Hello, Kate. How are you? Hello, Kate.
So, Hello. Bob, what do you think of the judge okaying the subpoena for Trump's financial records?
Well, this is interesting because it's Judge Amit Mehta of the U.S. District Court, and this is definitely a significant blow to the White House because, you know, he rejected the attempt by the president to go against the committee subpoena. Now, in here, there's actually limited days, according to this ruling, Kate, that the president has for the appeal process. Now, the judge did mention he would give the president, you know, some appeal process like any other person would have. But, of course, the president's legal team is going to appeal. And in the case, the judge says, Kate, that, you know, there is an ability of Congress to investigate the president. And based on this, you know, he's going to go along with the subpoena. If the president doesn't win on this, it's going to be pretty significant because, I mean, look, all the records, financial records of a company, I mean, that would be something to pour through.
No kidding. It would take forever, actually. That's a good point.
Well, that's it. And also, Kate, does come a point in time where you sit here and you think, okay, what is the probable cause of the Congress pouring through the president's records?
Yeah.
What was the suspicion there to do that? And if this goes on and the president battles them back and they go through December and January 2020 in this battle, and along with the Mueller, a visit, which hasn't happened yet, and additional subpoenas, very well the House could have been tied up with Trump for the entire process and has done nothing that will not help Nancy Pelosi's leadership.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, so we jump across to an area you know well, Iran. We've talked about that before. You have Iran slamming the president's what they're calling crazy mixed messages. You have the president tweeting a threat at Iran saying never threaten the U.S. again. What's happening there? There's some people that think that this could end up in a war-like situation. Really, do you think that?
Oh, I think we're within potential minutes of war at any point in time if certain things happen. You know, two Saudi tankers had an explosion, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, okay, that's Iran. The Saudi Arabia says it's Iran. Of course, these are the same people that chopped up a reporter live and then said he left the embassy. You know, so are we to believe them? And then a rocket is lobbed in. The last one was in September to the Green Zone. I've been into the Green Zone, Kate, in Iraq, and that's a very well-protected area where our interests, our embassy, you know, is there. Well, we don't know who lobbed the rocket, but of course they said, well, Iran's proxies probably lobbed the rocket. Again, another potential excuse, and John Bolton, National Security Director, is waiting for one. So here, I think, is the distinction. President Trump, I think, has come to believe by John Bolton, his national security advisor, that this is a repeat of Kim Jong-un. Threaten Iran, threaten to wipe them off the face of the earth, etc., and they'll come talk to him like Kim Jong-un did. No. Different scenario, different country, different case. So the president, I think, at some point in time is going to realize that John Bolton has got them up to the point where it's war or nothing because they're not going to negotiate. And at that point in time, I believe that the president, just analyzing this, will back this down a little bit, I believe. But Bolton has thirsted for war with Iran for 20 years. I mean, he's for preemptive strikes 20 years ago. So I think there's a little battle there between Bolton and Trump. Trump thought he would get the result of meetings. He's not going to. And then I think he will probably not allow Bolton to enter us into a war.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Speaking of that, talking about other countries and dealing with other countries, a lot has been made, of course, about China and what the situation is going to be like with the tariffs and the taxing on both sides of this. And while that's happening, there was the big story that broke on Sunday that we're going to lift, the U.S. is going to lift steel and aluminum tariffs on Canada and Mexico. That's a big deal.
It's a real big deal, and the president wins on this. He's redone NAFTA. Everybody, not everybody, a great portion of the Democratic side has complained about NAFTA forever. The unions hate NAFTA. The president has done a new agreement. How can the House democratically controlled go against him on this? I think it's a big win. It's also a sign for China. The president will hang in there. So I think that whole philosophy of winning on NAFTA transcends to China, and the president will continue to go after China. Yes, there'll be some pain for people, but if they bear through it, China will stop its relentless ability to control us for the last 25 years on jobs and products. So big win for the president, big win for Americans, and I can't imagine how the House says, well, we'll just stall agreeing to this new Canadian-Mexican trade agreement. I don't think they can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And then how about this? The White House launching an economic part of the Trump administration's Israeli-Palestinian peace plan in mid-June. They're going to do that. They're going to hold this workshop in Bahrain in June 25th to 26th to talk about this economic plan. That's huge because, you know, how often have we talked about let's get peace, we'll see the olive branches, we have the presidential pictures, but it doesn't ever really happen. Could this really happen this time around?
Well, it can happen. They've really went a great length on this. They've divided it from diplomatic and political talks to economic talks for the Palestinians, which is great. Now, they do have one problem here. When they have the Bahrain conference, the Palestinian Authority is officially not participating. So it's hard to have all this without the Palestinians, but they have invited Palestinian business people. So hopefully they get some prominent people to show up, which will be a great step, I think. But it's interesting dividing this into two parts, the political solution and the economic solution. I think it was pretty smart to go after the economics. They've got to try to help economically the Palestinian people to, you know, to pull them up and give them some jobs and economic support, too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Bob Ney, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kate. Bye-bye.
All right, so we're talking about, obviously, a bunch of different things here flying out of D.C. Number one is that the judge ordered the president, we started off with that, with his accounting firm to hand over records to Congress. So here we go. Bob made a good point. Imagine how much paperwork this is going to be. So this is a blow to the White House because he rejected the attempt to block the subpoena, the president's attempt to block the committee subpoena, saying that Congress is within its authority to investigate the president. But what is that going to look like is going to be pretty darn interesting, I think. By the way, the Prez's legal team, there is this thing called appeal. They are probably going to appeal it. Because you got to think about it. The case would involve records with private businesses, all of that. A lot of them, especially with this president. So we'll see where this still ends up. Game of Thrones enthralled so many. How many? There was a big cha-ching factor there. We're talking about it on the flip side.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. That nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
When you're talking about the land of streaming and Netflix and cable and a gazillion stations, Game of Thrones debuted back in April of 2011 and went all the way through until this year, ending in May of 2019. So Game of Thrones sits alone on its own iron television throne, if you get it. The records that were set, 13.6 million TV viewers, 19.3 million, they say, overall. How about that? So the popular fantasy drama, I was a fan, watched on Sunday. Give it a thumbs up. I think they summed everything up nicely. So 19.3 million viewers on all platforms. See, notice I say platforms. That means HBO Go, HBO Now, HBO. There's so many ways that you can get some of your programming, and this is the prime example of it. To give you the comparison of this slot machine known as the Game of Thrones, you look at other finishes to popular series. The Sopranos in 2002, the season 4 premiere of The Sopranos, 13.4 million, which was incredible. That was a wildly popular show. If you look at The Big Bang Theory on CBS, 18 million viewers for their season, or for their series finale. And the MASH finale back in the 80s, that would be 1983. Do you remember the 80s? 1983, 106 million viewers. Of course, when MASH was on, you had a handful of television stations, that was it. There wasn't all this cable and streaming and everything else, but it was a huge ratings bonanza, so you can't discount that. But when you look at Game of Thrones and you consider the platforms, what's really wild is they were averaging 44.2 million viewers an episode gross for the eighth and final season. That's an increase of about 10 million viewers compared with season 7, which was still quite nice if you're looking at those kinds of ratings. And they need that kind of money because they had a big cast. They had some cast members that were making $500,000 an episode. And all the costumes, the sets, the amount of people it took to put that on, it was a pretty hefty payday each and every time they put one of the shows on, one of the installments, one of the episodes of whatever season. It would just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So, wow, I'm going to say, you know, hats off to the producers, the writers, etc. of Game of Thrones. I did not read the books, so I was one of those that was straight to the series. I wasn't an early adopter. I ended up catching up a couple of years later, got hooked into it. I've said this before. I did that trip to Ireland. I talked about the castles, the history. So I think the fantasy mixed with what could be considered fake history was so fascinating to me. And I say, bravo, well done. It was a really interesting series from my point of view. All right, not a good thing. The cha-ching factor in the opposite direction in damages. They're talking about forecasts for dangerous weather. You had 15 tornadoes that went through 5 states on Monday, and some of them, luckily, in sparsely populated areas. So you had damaged homes and buildings in Oklahoma, but no injuries. But about 2 million people were supposedly in the path of these possible tornadoes. 15 tornadoes. It just boom like that. In Oklahoma, I mentioned, Texas, Kansas, Missouri, Arizona. Started at 10 o'clock in the morning. Eastern time, if we were to look at that clock on Monday morning. You wake up, and that's what you see. You're looking, staring down the barrel of that funnel cloud. Yikes. I mean, yikes. So there were people that woke up in a high-risk area. There were schools that were closed in Oklahoma because they knew they were going to get it the worst. So why not close them ahead of time? Why would you even risk that? That the kids have to shelter somewhere, you know. And what causes this? You know, somebody said it to me the other day. I had a conversation with a former weather guy I worked with and another guy where the two of us were not weather people other than casually. And we talked about the fact that you look at the weather, of course, the patterns of the weather, high heat, that's can be brutal. And it just depends in what mixes in and creates those potential funnel clouds. It's just the right set of circumstances. On Saturday, I was at a fabulous charity event for Children's Hospital in an area where I live, where they were raising money for emergency room renovations. Went in, perfect skies, clear, wonderful, crisp morning. Came out. Boy, I could barely see in front of me. I think I needed an arc to get home. I might have been chancing it a bit. I had to pull over. Lightning like I've never seen. No tornadoes, but just a wild storm. Crazy. And then hail coming down and, of course, hitting my car. Luckily, it was the kind of BB, tiny-sized hail, almost the size of it. It had just been a little bit bigger, would have caused that damage, but didn't cause the damage. Instead, I got lucky because twice I've had cars that have been damaged by hail, and I did not grow up in the, let's say, in a particularly an area where they particularly had a lot of hail, but now I'm definitely living in an area like that. So it's always interesting to kind of dodge some of the weather patterns, and I know that some of you had to do that over the weekend too, so you completely understand what I'm talking about. All right, I say this show, if for certain to me. It's about what's in your backyard and what's in mine, and that's what I want it to be. I envisioned it to be a place where you could have a conversation, whether you're right of right, left of left, hate labels, don't care about labels, want to talk about other things, understand about what happens in D.C. and how it affects us all, and then everything else in our life. So I know a ton of people were huddled around television sets somewhere to watch the Jeopardy champ win again for the 23rd time. So this gambler is up to $1.7 million. He's a professional Las Vegas sports gambler. And he came back to defend his title after they took a break in their regular competition for a two-week teachers tournament. They were probably psyched about that, like, ooh, we got the teachers. And they might do well, but listen, look where he's at. So he won again. And I mentioned the amount of money that he's won, which is absolutely crazy. He's the second most successful contestant in the game show's entire history, which is wild. He only trails Ken Jennings, who remains in the top spot for both lists, 74 wins and over $2 million in prize money. And how does he rack up these big winnings? And he explained his strategy in a Q&A article with the New York Times. He said, you can see as soon as I get control of the board in the first game, I'm going for $1,000 clues whenever I have the opportunity. He said it's like a poker strategy. I'm sure they love that at Jeopardy. It's a poker strategy. He says there's big advantages to having a lot of chips early in a poker tournament. You can make big plays other people can't. So that's what he's doing. And he has great hand-eye coordination, so he reaches for the buzzer, boom, 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 and gets there as fast as he can, constantly ringing in, rarely misses. And he's built up a big bank, and he uncovers lots of daily doubles. So he's got control of the board for a very long time. So if he's going to reach Jennings, by the way, he's got to probably get 10 or 11 more wins. So about 2 weeks worth of games. He'd have to hang in for 2 weeks worth of games. And this is, you know, Alex Trebek has to be loving this. He's a longtime host of Jeopardy because all eyes are on Jeopardy. People are paying attention. People are talking, hey, that quiz show Jeopardy, maybe if you didn't watch it, people are paying attention to it. You know, the weekly audience, 23 million viewers. It's the top rated quiz show on TV anyway. But now people who might not have ordinarily tuned into it are absolutely enthralled by this money total and what he's been able to do. It is pretty incredible if you think about it. And I love his explanation. It's like all the chips, you got to have it all right there. So go for the most money right away. And he's fearless. And he's the king of the buzzer. Let me tell you, good on him. We're hitting the mailbag next. Hang with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
President Trump blasting current Democratic frontrunner Joe Biden at a huge rally at a hangar in Montoursville, Pennsylvania.
And don't forget, Biden deserted you. He's not from Pennsylvania. I guess he was born here, but he left you, folks. He left you for another state. Remember that, please. I meant to say that. This guy talks about, oh, I know Scranton, I know that, well, I know the place is better. He left you for another state, and he didn't take care of you because he didn't take care of your jobs.
Now, a new Des Moines Register CNN MediaCom poll finds 31% of voters think Joe Biden's time has passed and that he should not run for president. 64% say he has experience and should run, and 5% say they're just not sure. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
Sweet! I love it when we have mail. Ton of mail. All right, so we get this from Manny. Yo, Kate, do you really think they're going to have time to pour through all the Prez's tax records, financial records? Seems kind of crazy to me. I mean, sure, they're going to hand over the records, but I don't think Congress is going to really be able to go through the jigsaw puzzle that I'm certain it will be if you look at what those records probably look like based on what the president did for a living before he became president, let's say. Well, yeah, I agree that it's not going to be an easy task whatsoever. But you know what? There was that determination that, yeah, we're getting to those records no matter what. Is it going to turn up some kind of red herring, something that's shocking? I don't know. You know, it's going to be complicated. That's what I think. It's going to be a complicated tax situation, whatever the financial records are. And figuring them out is going to take quite some time, unless I'm wrong. Unless I'm wrong. I can't imagine that. I'm certain it'll be that way. So this is one of those situations, damned if you do, damned if you don't, because there was such a push to have them released, and I get that, because all the other presidents have done it, Republican, Democrat, whatever. And that was one of the things Donald Trump said. Well, you know, there's this audit going on, which there was at the time. But regardless, okay, show us the bloody records. Now, here it comes. Here comes the records. And the records are going to be, I think, just overwhelming. It's kind of like when there's that discovery process And it's been a long, long case, and there's lots and lots of depositions and history. And you see that one law firm wants, of course, the discovery aspect of it. They get buried in boxes. That's what they call it, buried in boxes. And that's what is going to happen here, buried in boxes. Absolutely. All right, there was one other reaction to that. This one was from Lori. Kate Delaney, I'm a longtime listener of the show. I used to live in New Jersey, and I listened to you there, and then I moved to California. I was so excited to find out that I could get you on KCAA radio. You said it a couple of different times, and there was a few different signals, and I snapped it up quite easily, and I get you on my way back, frankly, from the gym, so it's great. I get to hear it at the top of the show. Enough with that. Here is the deal. The deal with the tax records, great. The tax records will be maybe shown, but what are the tax records going to say in time of the president that will in some way indict him somehow with something that he did leading up to the presidency or, you know, whatever. You just got to figure there's so many records, it'll just be a massive data financial dump, if you know what I mean. Well, I was just reading this came out, I don't know, a week or so ago, because there's more of this conversation about it, that would you be stunned, I'm sure you wouldn't be, that the businesses, the president's businesses, reported losses of $1.17 billion from 85 to 94. The New York Times did some digging on that, and they used information from tax documents from those years. And so they're saying that it appears as though the president lost more money than nearly any other individual U.S. taxpayer in that decade. So what does it mean for everything else that's coming forward? You know, what are the core businesses? How much losses were there? All that kind of stuff. And I guess what it is they're digging for some kind of fraud. They're trying to figure out, the Democrats, what can they find there? Is there anything there to find? What's the treasure map? Is there a treasure map there? You know, think about that. Because some of this stuff would go back before electronic filing. So how accurate would some of this be? Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. I mean, is it going to be another one of these, here's a four-page summary? I don't think so. I think this is going to take a lot of poring over. That's what I'm going to say, a ton of poring over. All right, let's move on to another one. This one is from Kevin. Hi, I've never emailed the show before. One of my friends listens to you, so I started to give you a chance. And I have to say, I do like the way you fly through more material than the same old thing I hear over and over again. Not that during the day I don't like some of my boys that I'm listening to. I'm a salesperson, so I'm cruising around, and I'm a radio person as well. I don't like to listen to Sirius. I listen to what's on radio. So I give it to you for sure there, and especially if there's anything breaking instead of hearing something that's hours and hours old. So I feel really, really good about you doing that, Ms. Delaney. Here's my deal. As I look at what's happening with the Democrats, and it's just kind of a whose turn is it today? I mean, for goodness sake, how many people are running? If I'm a Democratic strategist, do I really think this is the way to go? Of course, we know the field will narrow, but I would say if I was that strategist, you need to narrow it sooner rather than later, because it's like confused buyers. They'll never jump the fence and vote in a different direction if there isn't something being offered up that's just so incredible that you cannot turn it down. So irresistible. What would you do if you were in that seat, Kate? Oh, if I were in that seat, you summed it up like a perfect ad. Something irresistible. What could be irresistible that could move independence in a different direction? What could be so irresistible that could get people, especially in the Midwest, who are who are happy, who are loyalists to the president, who see some of the things in the positive manner that have happened and some of what's going on now, that would be hard to go in a different direction. And how are you going to do that if you have, here's the best we got to offer, you know, they talked about running up, here they are again. And I think some people missed the boat, like Beto, I think he missed the boat. When there was some excitement over him, he needed to declare, jump in, and go full force. But he didn't do that. That hesitation, I think, was costly. Joe Biden, to me, is, he's been there, done that. I mean, he's out, he's been there before, and yes, he might be showing up in the polls, but in a one-on-one situation, does he beat the president? So if I'm a Democratic strategist, I'm looking for, you know, honestly, I'm looking for the juiciest, best, unbelievable, irrefutable champion of politics that I can find. And who is that? Who is that person? And where are they right now today? Who are they? Can I find them, and can they percolate the crowd so much that they do turn a few people who normally would vote for a Republican or vote for the incumbent to not vote in that direction? I would definitely thin the herd, that's for sure. And anybody you talk to says, well, you know, that's what we're, of course, that's what we're going to do. But I think the gunna needs to, would need to get giddy up. And I, if I were, I mean, honestly, barring something unforeseen happening, if I were the people around the president and their job is to get him reelected, I don't know, I wouldn't feel, I wouldn't be panicking right now. I would feel a little bit confident. You know, the numbers keep changing a little bit as in this, in the polls, but I think some of the same people who have who voted for the president will vote there again, unless there is that juicy, irresistible candidate. That's what I'm going to say. You know, what's so interesting is people talk about ageism and, oh, the when is the best age for a president? I was listening to someone the other day. They said, oh, in their 50s, because, you know, they're seasoned, but they're not too old. And that's the perfect age, somewhere in that 50s, and they're confident, they have wisdom, blah, blah, blah. You have Bernie Sanders, who's 79. You have Joe Biden, who's 78. And, of course, Donald Trump, 74. And no one's talking about that. You look at some of those Democrats that are running, Tulsi Gabbard, 40 years younger than Bernie Sanders, 39 years younger than Joe Biden. And you know, does age have anything to do with the president's success? It doesn't have to. John Kennedy was the youngest, and Ronald Reagan was one of the oldest. And Reagan, in his early 70s, deflected a question about his age when he was asked about it, when, you know, running against Walter Mondale, who's 56 at the time, and he said, I won't make age an issue of the campaign. I'm not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience. Ba-dum-bump. He had great lines like that. And the way, if you go back and you look at old, I'm going down a rabbit hole, you look at old footage, I say old, but you look at footage of Reagan, he was the master of, his speech writers were good too. He could be good on the fly, and he had that great sardonic kind of quality about him, and in the how he could just pop it out at convenience, and that's one of those examples of it in you know, doing that. So pretty crazy. And then I got to throw this out there. I got this one from Jake, who said, "Did you hear the story about the billionaire who's paying off a Morehouse grad's huge student loan?" I did. I saw it in USA Today, so you must have seen it in the same place. It was Elijah Dormus, and he graduated from Morehouse, and the speaker, billionaire Robert Smith, told the graduates him and his family are taking care of their student loan. So, boom, just like that, all of it's done. We're paying off your student loans. That is surreal. That would be the best celebratory moment ever. Go to the man cave next.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. That nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Okay, so a watch is good, and some jewelry. Better grab some flowers, too.
Hey, what you doing?
Mother's Day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making lists, gotta plan a trip to the store, then need to save all the receipts in case she wants to return.
You know there's an easier way, right?
I'm guessing you do?
Yes, I'm gonna show you the easy, quick way to shop for mom, and save 30% at sunshine-pillows.com.
Ah, pillows. Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows.
She always says she has stress.
And aches and pains, right? Look, they have hot and cold therapy products.
Ooh, it says we can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off.
Yep, just use this promo code MOM30.
You know, for a little brother, you're pretty smart.
Get something for every mom on your list and save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Now through Mother's Day only at sunshine-pillows.com. Use promo code MOM30. Sunshine-pillows.com. Your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Magic Johnson. When I just got into the business and I was doing news and, of course, had some breaks in sports, I was so excited because I had a chance to interview Magic Johnson. He couldn't have been more warm and exciting to talk to. He had so many great in-game stories about the Lakers and James Worthy and Showtime, and it was just a tremendous moment for me because he was fascinating to listen to. Now, he's like a blowtorch of gossip, innuendo, and I don't know what. So the Lakers were getting ready to introduce their new coach, and it's just been a soap opera. And everybody wants to know, why did Magic Johnson suddenly leave? And, of course, they want to know that. But in an interview, he wound up, which he was just trying to clear his reputation, supposedly, he wound up trashing his own reputation and everyone associated with the Laker family and franchise, which he says he loves, because, of course, he was Showtime. He was the Lakers. He is L.A. And, you know, dumping on the Lakers was so crazy. I listened to the interview, and it was very unmagic-like. He called the general manager, Rob Pelinka, a backstabber. He said Tim Harris had butted in where he didn't belong. He said the younger Bus brothers were entitled and clueless. And he also threw Jeannie Bus, pardon the pun, under the bus, who he often described like being like a sister. He said that she's incapable of hearing multiple opinions and then making the right decision or any decision. Oh, my. So surprising. And you could say, well, if this is how he feels, it's honesty. We live in the era of authenticity. But he constantly, and this is like not magic, constantly preaches the love for them, da-da-da-da. I don't know. The whole dirty laundry thing, maybe it's because I'm the queen of the high road, at least when I can be, unless you really push me against a wall. And I think in this case, I can understand how he would be upset with the whole Laker nonsense in his view, and it's understandable. But he's a Hall of Famer. He won 5 titles with the Lakers. He's one of the greatest players to handle a basketball in NBA history. He's an incredibly successful businessman. Incredibly successful. He's a class act guy, in my opinion, in my brief moments with him, and in everything you see. So that part was disappointing. That part was disappointing. Even if that is the kind of nonsense in his view that's happening, I get it. But why not take that high road and get rid of the drama? Forget it, because you're out of there, especially. And that's just not. Just go up the high road, right? Just do it. Especially they've been very, you know, the Lakers have been very good to him, despite what all the nonsense might look like now. And sure, it could absolutely be soap opera drama and everything else, but you, I don't know. It sounds like sour grapes or problems. Just forget it. Just leave it alone. Let's put it that way. So I walked in today, and what was the first thing the hub said to me? Oh, Niki Lauda died. Did you know that? And so, of course, 3-time Formula One champ. There was even a movie made about Lauda, won 2 of his titles after a terrible crash that left him with burns and went on to become a big figure in aviation. And he was, again, he was 70 years old. He passed away peacefully, they say. A doctor performed a lung transplant on him last year. And does that have anything to do with it? Maybe. He won championships in 75 and 77 with Ferrari, in 84 with McLaren. And it was in the 70s when he was badly burned. He crashed during the German Grand Prix, but made a pretty quick return to racing in just 6 weeks. And a lot of people love this guy. A lot of people in racing. I like Formula One. I like watching it. So I certainly knew who he was. And I know the story of, you know, what happened and that kind of stuff. He came out of retirement in 82. Why did he do that? McLaren offered him about $3 million a year. So that was it. And came back and et cetera. But what a career he had. And he, you know, of course, underwent kidney transplants, got an organ donated by his brother in 97, and then when that stopped functioning well, a kidney was donated by his girlfriend in 2005. He had a lung transplant, like I mentioned, in August of last year. So he was pretty resilient. Pretty resilient in so many ways. But people in the motor sports world, know all about him and about his incredible impact on the sport and, of course, the lore of him, you know, what lived on and will live on after this because of those really wild stories of what happened in the early days, I guess, is the best way to put that. All right, so in the NBA, we're into the, you know, final throes of this thing. The conference finals, game 4, Golden State Warriors winning the series. The final in overtime, 119-117. So for the fifth straight year, the Warriors advance. They advance to the finals. Not a shock, right? Because they're so dominant. There was I was on Gary Jeff Walker's show, a guy who's pretty popular, very popular in Cincinnati, and he asked me, do you think they have, we talked about with the Warriors, do you think they would be a dynasty team? And I would say, yeah, they're definitely a dynasty team. Because even if one player is down, they have somebody else that can jump right in on the floor and contribute. And to finish a game that way, you know, Steph Curry had 37 points. He's back. His form is good. He looks good. He was putting on a clinic. Putting on a clinic when they needed him to put on a clinic. That's the key thing. When your superstar is the guy who's putting up the shots at the time when you need him to pull away in a tight game, that is, that's the guy you want to lead the team, and that's Steph Curry. So it just goes to show you that, you know, you start off with a couple of players, you've got the core, then the core expands and gets even better. And when that happens, look out. And that was the Warriors story, that it just got better and better and better for them because they would find the right cocktail of veteran players and younger players to move, you know, to move on up. Couple of quick NFL notes, because we're getting closer to training camp in a couple of months. People forget about this, but an ex-NFL star, Kellen Winslow, is, you know, his rape trial is starting, and he admitted that he cheated on his wife numerous times, and even had, he said he even had sex with a hitchhiker last year, but he's not guilty of raping a woman or any women. That's what his attorney told a jury in California. And Winslow's attorney, a guy named Brian Watkins, says it's wrong, immoral, but it's not illegal. He did a 9-minute opening statement to a jury that'll decide if 35-year-old Kellen Winslow spends the rest of his life in prison. This is a guy who was a brash but very gifted athlete who once referred to himself as the chosen one. Constantly he would say that. But he's been accused of several sex-related crimes involving women over 53. The hitchhiker was 54. And supposedly, they say that he also, allegedly, he's being charged with raping a homeless woman last May. So there are a couple of different things that are very strange in this trial with Kellen Winslow. We'll see how that comes out. But now it's underway, that's for sure. Thanks for joining us in the Man Cave and for this hour of the show. As the music plays us out, make it count, everyone.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.